So what were they supposed to do with the pick? And did you give, was part of your training the guy what he's supposed to do? Did you go and you say to the region guy, you say, listen, I'm coming in and because we got to do, you want me to do this pick in, all right, let's say, Tainin, okay? So, and let's say that the guy there is a young, one of these young guys that came out in 64. Do you then instruct him on what to do with the pick, the problems?
Sort of. We had, well, they know they had to collect intelligence. They had their list of what was needed for their own province.
And the agency, I suppose, had already trained them in interrogation.
No, they weren't trained in interrogation. They didn't have to. All they had to do was be able to make sure that whoever it was that they had that was running the thing would follow their orders. You know, when they said, look, this is the requirements I want, they had to review. They had to read all the damn, the initial reports on these guys. And then go back and give them requirements, just like we did at the NIC.
They got toilets in the cells or just a pot?
Just a hole.
Okay.
You mean just like have a regular toilet for these guys? Yeah. You kidding me? They didn't have any in the whole town. Why should we build them in a goddamn interrogation center?
Okay.
Yeah, they slept on, there was a concrete slab. And then you'd give them a straw mat or something. And depending on how cooperative they were, they could get extra things like, you know, blanket maybe, not that they needed one. Because it could get chilly inside, you know, in the Highland area, it got very cold at night. And so, you know, there were things you could give them, things you could take away from them, according to how they cooperated in the interrogation. Not a whole lot, but, you know, whatever little bit they got, they were grateful for.
Now, do you have a counterpart Vietnamese team? A permanent team of Vietnamese trainers who go around with you from province to province?
No, but they, okay. The captain, his main thing was training. He trained the guard force in each place.
Okay.
He put them through their drills. Two EMs worked with, one would work with the interrogators, one would work with the report writers.
Okay.
They'd tell them the kind of reports, you know, this is the first report you do, this is the second report you do.
Okay.
And then, 1, 2, 3, 4, these are the next reports you do, according to whatever.
Okay.
And they show them, they give them a sample of it, and explain to them how it should be written, you know, and this is how you go about interrogating the man. Well, the guy working with the interrogators work all that. The other guy would work with him on, these are the kind of reports you got to do, and he worked with the report writers. They were going to do the work, getting the notes from the interrogator, and would actually write the reports for them.
Okay.
And,
So these guys, the interrogator then trains the guys how to take notes.
Yep.
The interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And how to, you know, you just don't sit down and have 10 questions and ask them 10 questions, get 10 answers, and walk away.
Yeah.
Because lots of times the answer to one question should lead you to another hour of talking. You never get to question three because question two is so interesting and it's giving you so much. If you have questions and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the first one is, were you ever trained in North Vietnam? Yes. Second question, where were you trained? The second question is, were you ever trained by other than the Vietnamese?
Mm-hmm.
The guy says yes. And the third question is, when did you come to South Vietnam? And the guy tells you, you go over there and you ask all 10 questions. He says, fine, that's it. That's the end of your interrogation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when did, you know, you were trained in North Vietnam? Yeah, when were you trained? Where were you trained? What were you trained? It's 60 questions you could ask.
Yeah.
And a lot, you know, some of these guys, if you gave them 10 questions, they would get 10 answers for you, and that's it.
That's it.
They would not go one step further. Then you have to send them back. Say, all right, now I go back and ask them, you give them 10 more questions on this one, and 10 more on this one.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of them have to learn, is that you don't just drop it just because you got the answer. The answer should, if it's the right answer, should lead you on to a bunch of more questions.
What was that little song about Muldoon that you recited to me earlier, the last deal of night there? You got your Brigadoon and your Lorna Doon.
That had nothing to do with over there.
That's just something else.
One of the coaches at St. John's came up and used to say all the time, he said, there are Lorna Doons, there's Brigadoons, and there's sand dunes, but there's no dune like a mole dune. Well, you know, a lot of people have different ideas about the value of the picks. I tell you, talk to a few people. Some of my very good friends think they were the biggest waste of money and time ever spent because they didn't produce anything. And a lot of them didn't. A lot of them.
Well, who's somebody that thinks it was a waste? You know, I mean, for what reasons?
Well,
from what perspective? You know, I mean, does the inside?
Well, there's one guy, and he turned that machine off a second. I'll tell you what his name is. There were a lot of people did not think they were any good, and there was a lot of them that weren't, because the guys in the province didn't push them, didn't try to make them work.
Okay.
And some of the people say, oh, baloney, it's not that we didn't try, it's just that they weren't, it was a dumb idea in the first place, and it couldn't have worked. And a lot of them said it was a stupid idea because we couldn't get the military to turn over, they were the ones kept capturing them. Business.
Yeah, right.
They weren't going to turn them over to us until they were finished with them. By the time we got them, they were pretty much washed out. So, but see, this was part of the overall plan of the PICC. It was to get them in. Sure, the military get their tactical military intelligence first. That obviously that's the most important thing going.
Yeah, are they going to hit a town over there? Are they going to hit a battalion?
You have to have that information. Right. But then we felt that you could work your priorities after that. After the military had really gotten what they felt they could get out of them, that they could use today, tomorrow, next week, then they should be able to sit him down and say, okay, now let's see whose priorities this guy. Maybe the Navy should talk to him first. Maybe the CIA should talk to him, you know, but this is the way it should, you know, break it down. But certainly the first thing that should have been done would be getting tactical military intelligence this guy had. And that was the whole idea of having the PICCs and the PICs being part of them, so we'd be able to use all this and work back and forth. But it never came to that.
So
that's why things a lot of people thought they were no good, because the original idea of it was never, did never materialize.
So it's a
fairly quickly after they were caught.
As just about everything is true with everything else, it comes down to the personalities, whether the people get along.
And our guy in the province had to sell it to the military that, look, if you turn these guys over to us early, we will be able to give you intelligence that you will be happy to get.
Yeah.
We've got trained guys that can do a better job than what you've got. But also, you can tell them, we'll be able to take up. You give us your requirements, we'll ask the questions for you, along with our own. But you had to convince them, and you had to show them. And if you couldn't convince them that there was a chance, they'd never give you the chance. If you never had the chance, you couldn't show them.
Okay.
And so in some areas, it worked. Whereas we were able to, our guy was able to convince the military guy that, look, give us a shot at it anyway and see what happens. Turn a couple of business over to us shortly after you get them and see what we can come up with for you.
Yeah.
And if we fall on our face, we get it. What's it going to cost you? A couple of business.
Yeah.
And when they were able to convince them, in a couple of provinces they were able to show them that, yeah, they could. And the guy started working.
Okay.
And then it worked in other provinces where we just had good relationships with the province chief or something like that. But in other areas, our guys said, I'm not going to spend my time kiss that guy's ass. I can care less about you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do my own thing. I didn't come here to run an interrogation program. I came here to run whatever the other operations you're supposed to be running.
Conflicted interests.
So it wasn't a great smashing success that it could have been.
Okay.
At least not while I was there. But in certain provinces, it was doing very well. Like I said, down in the Delta, they did it with the Hamlet and Bowman program and the CTs.
Yeah.
And we used another one of the programs we had going. We used, I think, four. We had to pick was one in the Hamlet and the CT, but there was another one we used. And all that same operation. And it showed that, you know, if you get the cooperation between the various people, then in that case, the guy that was the PM guy, was a high school classmate of mine, and a gung-ho type of one to go out. And he wanted to cooperate, and he wanted to do all that. And then the other guy was a guy that was very serious about making everything in his province work, and he wanted to make his pick work. You know, he wasn't happy that he got stuck with it, because it just meant more work.
Yeah.
But he was the type of guy that was He wanted it to, he wanted it to be the best.
Yeah.
And when they got together and they worked in and they did, and they showed that, and this one guy had great relations with the province chief and with all the military, and the other guy had great relationship with the special branch, the CIO, and they were able to make the thing work. But it did work, and they produced a lot of intelligence out of it, and they picked up a lot of VC that were responsible, and not guys that weren't necessarily VC, but were collaborating with them in the dam, in the villages, and cost them a lot of loyal Vietnamese lives and stuff. So, and I guess there was some decent intelligence from some of them. Again, I was so busy running around trying to get new ones started, I never had much time to find out what the ones that were in existence were actually doing,
yeah.
Except when I would happen to be in the area and stop in and they'd tell me any problems they had.